Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. Don't wait till later in the broadcast when we're out of time. Call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. If we're going to really experience true freedom in life, we have to find that in the New Covenant. It's a subject that not many people really know about. It's not one that's taught that often, but it fills the pages of the New Testament. Paul made this declaration that he was a minister of the New Covenant, and that's what we're going to look at today in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you read your Bible very often, I would encourage you to mark this particular chapter in your Bible, actually the whole section, 2 Corinthians 3 through 5. Those three chapters are very significant chapters in explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ, what his death, burial, and resurrection accomplished for each and every one of us. And the first thing it did was to move us out of the old covenant, out from underneath condemnation, into a new covenant, which is a covenant of grace. And here's what Paul wrote. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So that old covenant was of the letter. We see the stone tablets and the Ten Commandments etched on those stone tablets. And that's what Moses presented to the people. But in this new covenant, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about those Ten Commandments. We're talking about a covenant of the Spirit. And he goes on to say this, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So those Ten Commandments, when we put ourselves underneath those Ten Commandments and we look at what they say and then we look at our actions and we look back at what those commandments say, they speak words of condemnation, judgment, and death. That's what those commandments speak to us who are sinners by nature until we come to Christ and have all of that changed. So when we come to Christ, we are set free from that law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life. So that's why Paul was a minister of the new covenant. He wanted to minister life to people, not death. They knew something was wrong. He wanted to give them the solution. And that solution is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, as we move further through this passage, Richard, we see the importance of the Spirit. Not only does he give life, but he comes to indwell us. And Paul makes a rather profound statement about the presence of God's Spirit in our lives. What does his presence mean to us?
Well, he draws an incredible contrast to this day. This veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
That's huge.
Huge.
That's huge. So when you come to Christ, God's Spirit comes to live inside of you, with the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So wherever he is, that means freedom to your soul. Mm-hmm. Why? Because your life moving forward is abiding in his work that he is constantly doing inside of you. And as you abide in him, you're going to experience freedom in your day-to-day life. Freedom to be who God created you to be. Freedom to love others. Freedom to love God. Freedom to be generous, knowing that you're in his favor and you're in his favor forever. So knowing that you're in this new covenant, you're not in the old, but you're in the new, means freedom to your soul. So we encourage people to make the declaration, I am a new covenant believer.
Yeah.
That's a declaration of freedom in Christ Jesus.
And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. I want to thank you for joining us. We have plenty of open lines, so you can join us and enter the conversation at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. Plenty of open lines and plenty of time on the clock. If you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps an issue in life you'd like to discuss, as one of our listeners yesterday did, Jessie, was having a difficult time having her 19-year-old daughter return home, and those things, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But if you have an issue you'd like to talk about, why, go ahead and call right now, 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to go to Louisville and talk to our friend Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. The weather's great here today.
Well, fabulous.
Listen, my question is, is God punishing us when he doesn't let it rain?
Well, Mary Jo, that's an interesting question. And I think, you know, historically we would make those, we would draw those conclusions that if there's not rain, obviously we've done something to anger God. And he is drying up the skies for us and drying up the ground, and you know, famine is on its way. We see God doing some things like destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, some very specific things that he did to bring judgment against the world. But I don't think today that we need to make those types of judgments. God has already demonstrated that he's for us, not against us, by sending Jesus. So our focus as far as understanding what God is all about, what God is interested in, what God is thinking, is going to come from our study of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we see at the cross that God demonstrated his love for us, that in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So we see the love of God demonstrated for us. Now, that love of God is sure and unchanging regardless of circumstances of life, regardless of good weather, bad weather, good circumstances, bad circumstances. That declaration of love in the person and work of Jesus Christ is unchanging. It is true regardless of what's happening in life, and that's where we need to keep our focus. So many folks, Mary Jo, and I think this is really a good conversation, so many folks judge God's love for them based on what's happening in their life at any given moment. So if life seems to be going pretty well, they make the conclusion that obviously I'm in God's favor. I've done something to please him, and he's blessing me as a result. And then when things turn bad and circumstances go south, they look, wow, I wonder what God's punishing me for. What sin in my past is God paying me back for through these bad circumstances? And both of those conclusions are wrong. God's love is constant. It's unchanging. It was demonstrated clearly in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of bad circumstances, when we cling to his love, that's what enables us to rise above and to live with joy in our hearts, knowing that God's going to work it together for our good. Does that help you, Mary Jo?
Well, I was thinking, too, with the farmers and food, and you need water to drink, and they showed a picture of California. God, it looked awful. No rain there for so long. And
well, Mary Jo, I mean, that's been the way of the world since the beginning. I mean, there's weather patterns. There's things that we all go through, ups and downs of life. One part of the country here in the United States, for example, is as dry as a bone. There's other parts where flooding is happening. It seems like, you know, we could just balance all that out, but that's not how it works. There's certainly forces out there that are bringing about these weather patterns. We we can understand how all of that is working now. But in the midst of it, are we gonna stand firm in what we know to be true about God? And that's the fact that He loves us and cares for us.
Yeah. In you know, just to balance the whole thing out, there is coming a time, and we read Revelation, and some of the final judgments involve weather-like phenomena. But those judgments are so far beyond anything we're experiencing today that it will be unmistakable that God is doing something. And even in those judgments, He's trying to get the unbelievers to repent and come to Him. But the tragedy in Revelation is that it says they refuse to repent.
Yeah.
So God is trying to get their attention. But when those judgments come, it'll be so obvious that something out of the ordinary is happening, that the stuff that's going on today, as bad as it is for people in California, I've got family in California, it's just nothing compared to what final judgments will be. So I wouldn't equate the two at all.
Yeah. Well, Mary Jo, thanks for your question. Always nice to hear from you.
Yeah.
And hope you have a wonderful day and enjoy that great weather in Louisville.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you, and you all have a wonderful day, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time. All the lines are wide open right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, yesterday, of course, we had a conversation with Jesse and had an email this morning from Roger, who writes to us from El Sobrante, California. Says, listening to the conversation with Jesse yesterday, he says, I, too, have a 19-year-old daughter who is behaving in the same manner, so I want Jesse to know she is not alone in this. And, of course, I think that's the strength of this broadcast, because when one is suffering and they share with us and the others, other people who are going through the same thing can hear, relate, and be blessed and encouraged in the same way. Roger goes on to say, please join me in praying for my daughter, Katie, who was born again last summer but has fallen back into the ways of the world. So what would he have to say to Roger?
Well, I actually responded to Roger via email this morning. We sent him a lot of the same resources that we sent Jesse yesterday. In a situation like that, you just keep loving. I mean, that's what you do as parents. You just keep loving your children. You keep being there for them in their time of need. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to draw near to you. That doesn't mean that they're going to come and ask for your advice or opinions or that sort of thing. But you're there for them when they do. You want them to know that you're always for them, never against them, and that you will help them along the way. So I think if you can communicate that truth, if you can communicate your love for them, I think that's going to be significant for them. Maybe not now, maybe not in the next 2 weeks, but at some point they're going to come to a place in their lives and say, I do need some help. I am really messing up my life here. And here's somebody that has loved me since I was just this big. And I'm gonna turn to them and see what they can do to help me. So I think it's important as parents that we hang tough with our kids, mm-hmm. that we hang in there with them and always communicate love. Now, love isn't an ooey gooey feeling. It isn't one of those things. And that's where when we mess up, when we think it's this feeling, but love is an action. So God's love begins with patience. So God is patient with us. So if He's patient with us, He's going to be working that type of patience inside of us so that we can be patient with others. And parents need that kind of patience. And children need it as well with their with their parents. So it's important that we understand the love of God for us. And I think that will direct how we handle our kids in any situation that they find themselves in. So if we will abide in the love of God, trust the love of God in our hearts and lives, I think we'll know what to do with our kids.
Yeah, I had a voicemail waiting for me when I got in this morning from a person in the Sacramento area who had been through a similar situation. And her statement was, hang in there. They'll come through it. They're going to make mistakes.
Yes.
But let them make mistakes. Just love them. And her child came through it, and they were able to reconcile and grow in spite of the experience. So it's not a lost cause by any means.
Well, here's what I do as a dad. I think about all the yucky stuff that I got involved in as a kid, as a teenager, as a college student, and, you know, early on after I graduated. And my whole heart's desire is to prevent or help my kids not have to go through some of the things that I went through. And that brings out the legalism in me as a parent. Well, I'm going to guide them. I'm going to set down some rules and regulations. I'm going to set down some things that they must do. And what I'm doing as a parent at that point is robbing them of the freedom to grow and develop as individuals. I can be honest about what I experienced as a kid, how I got there, what caused me to jump in both feet into those temptations, and I can lay that out there and be as truthful and honest about that. And when I do and when I have, kids listen. My kids have listened. And so it's not the rules and regulations, it's the truth. Truth will set us free.
Yes.
And so if we can be truthful, and that's a part of love, I think it's we're going to see dividends from that at some point in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Richard Piper, Bob Christopher, my name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. Several calls on the line, so I guess let's keep rolling.
Yes, let's do. Let's go to Long Branch, New Jersey, and talk with Linda, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Linda.
Hi, I have a quick question. I came to the Lord a couple of years ago, and unfortunately my husband has not. And I'm living in an unsaved home, and although the Bible says that as a wife you are to submit to your husband so that you may win him over to the Lord, how do you separate submitting as in a holy way and submitting to the enemy? Such as if they would come home from work and they've been drinking and their attitude is a little difficult, kind of a tyrant mentality. Are we supposed to, as newly saved Christian wives, stand there and accept this behavior? Where do you draw on the line? I'm a little confused with submitting to an unsaved spouse.
Yeah, well, submitting to abuse is not what God calls you to do, Linda. And so if your husband comes in drunk, I think you just draw a line and say, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to deal with you until you get sober. And I think when you draw a line like that, you're showing some respect for him. And that's really what submission is all about, is respecting another person and doing so in such a way that they sense that and they know that to be the case. So if you submit in those to him in those drunken stupors and that sort of thing, he's not going to think much of you, and you're certainly not going to think much of him. So that's not real biblical submission there. So
two things that I heard. Number one is abuse. Okay, so that's, I guess, where I was unclear. I was always under the assumption, unless it's physical abuse, you know, that's basically the abuse that I've always been looking at. So I do need some clarity with what actually abuse is. The other thing is, what if you've already done this and they tell you, tough, there's the door, you leave? The Bible does tell us that as the saved person, you can't leave. The unsaved person can leave.
Yeah.
I think, Linda,
in that situation, you look at him and you say, hey, I've committed myself to this marriage. I'm not going anywhere. If you want to go, you go. I think that's how you handle it, in a situation like that. But Linda, here's what I want to encourage you in. You are a new Christian, right?
Yes,
fairly
2 years.
Okay. So God has sent his Spirit to live inside of you. And you need to abide in God's Spirit. Allow God's Spirit to teach you how to show respect to your husband in such a way that will penetrate through his hardness of heart, where he can see something different. Now, that's going to be unique with you, Linda, how God will teach you and disciple you and work with you to show your husband and only your husband the respect, ways that you can respect him. So I would adopt a prayer, something like this. Lord, this is a troubling relationship. It's deeply troubling. I don't know how to handle it. I want to respect my husband. I want to honor him as a human being. I want to love him. But I can't do that apart from you. And so I'm going to put my heart and mind into your hands and allow your spirit to teach me. Show me some unique ways that I can show my husband that I respect him. Sometimes it's going to look, you know, one way. Sometimes it's going to look a different way, depending on the circumstance. But if you will pray there.
The Lord must think I'm a pretty tough cookie to put me in this situation. And yes, the Lord has empowered me with grace for the last 2 years to endure what I've been enduring. I think I had just been misinterpreting what submission was.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that no matter what the situation, I was to stand here and take it verbally, emotionally. And I'm just learning scripture and saying, wait a minute, I don't think that's what it says.
If I'm in your shoes, I walk away. See, so, sometimes we're fearful, but a lot of times when we draw that line and say, nuh-uh, you're not going to treat me like that. I'm not gonna stand here and take this. That is a very sobering moment for the husband. That's when he stops and says, well, wait a minute. You always used to take it, and now you're not. Maybe I need to rethink this whole thing. So don't take his abuse. Don't take his verbal abuse.
All right. I want to thank you very much for taking my question, and you've given me some insight. So God bless you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Linda. Let me send you a copy of this book, Love Is. And I think as you learn about the love of God for you, I think it's going to help you in this situation, okay?
All right. Thank you very much. God bless.
You hold the line, Linda.
Love Is and many other resources are available at our online store. Take a look around at store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks. Let's go to Long Island real quickly. Ramon, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, thanks. We just have a few seconds, if you could ask quickly.
Okay, well, what I have to say is I believe that just like the lady that was talking just now, she had to stop taking abuse from her husband. I think the church should stand up and draw a line when it comes to the all the commotion that homosexual people are causing. I think the church, the leaders of the church, I think we should get together and, you know, and demand outright in a decent manner. You know what I mean? Just like.
Well,
just
Ramon,
like
let me jump in right there. We're almost off the air. But here's how we can handle things. If we will look at every issue through the lens of truth and love. Sometimes we just look through the lens of truth. Sometimes we just look through the lens of love, but I think we have to put those two together and look at those issues through truth and love. That will keep us from compromising truth, but it will also enable us to reach out in a way that can make a difference. So the Bible calls us to take a stand on truth and love, and I think when we do, the gospel is honored and Jesus is honored and people have a chance to see him for who he truly is.
Ramon, thanks for your question, and we're off the air just about, so hope you'll keep listening and call again. Friends, if you'd like to get a copy of John Lynch's The Cure, you can have one for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You know how to do it. Go online to basicgospel.net or call our order line. We're out of time. We're going to be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us then. See you then. Bye-bye.